the book of Job. We'll look at several scriptures this morning. Help of the Lord, I want to preach a message He's put on my heart. Job, chapter number 14. We'll start in chapter 14, then we'll flip over to chapter number 31. We'll just read one verse in chapter 14, and we'll flip right over to Job, chapter number 31. Be ready to flip. We'll flip to several passages. Job, chapter number 14, and verse number 16. The Bible says, "For now thou numberest my steps, dost thou not watch over my sin?" Job is speaking to God, of God. Then he says, "For now thou numberest my steps." Mark that word, steps. Turn with me to Job 31. God numbers our steps. Steps. Job 31, verse number 4. Job says, "Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I had walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps?" Steps. Proverbs. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 5. While you're turning in Proverbs, chapter number 5, in Job 34, I'll read one more to you. In Job 34, verse 21, Job writes and said that his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. Proverbs chapter number 4, in verse number 26, the Bible says, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." Chapter number 5, in verse number 21, the writer writes and says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." That word "pondereth" means that he observeth, that God observeth, or he weighs, he sees, he knows. The word literally means to roll flat or to weigh out and see what's there. That the Lord observeth all, he pondereth all his goings. That word "goings" is the idea of the tracks, the entrenchments, or the literal word is the wagon tracks. God knows your steps. He knows the tracks that you leave behind. Go with me to Proverbs chapter number 15. Just a couple of more verses and then we're making the way for the message. Proverbs chapter number 15, in verse number 3, the Bible says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Go with me to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, to your right, Jeremiah chapter number 32. Jeremiah chapter number 32, verse number 17. Jeremiah writes and he says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are upon all the ways of the Son of Man, to give everyone according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." Go with me to Hebrews in the New Testament, the book of Hebrews in chapter number 4. The book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. Verse number 13, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, the writer writes and he says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." In other words, God sees everybody. He says there's not a creature that is not manifest or revealed or open to the sight of God. But he said all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. One more scripture in 1 Peter chapter number 2. To the right, just a few pages. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 21. "For even Hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Steps. I want to preach this morning with the help of the Lord on living my life step by step. Step by step. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for your help this morning. I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray to receive the word of God. Help us to be receptive to what you've got to say to us. And I pray, God, you'd speak to us. I pray you'd help me, your preacher. Fill me with your spirit. And God, I pray you'd help me to bring about the message that you've borne in my heart. And God, help me to deliver it to your people. And I pray, God, you'd be pleased in all that's said and done. Lord, help us to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. Help us in Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. Living my life step by step. We've sang the song as children. You've heard it probably many times. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down with love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Can I say it like this? If God is watching you, and he knows your steps, then you and I need to watch our steps. You ever heard anybody say, watch your step? You're walking on slippery ice or something. You're walking up steps that's got ice on them. And somebody says, hey, watch your step. Can I say every step that we take in life, we ought to watch our step? The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter number 5 that we are to walk circumspectly. The idea as one walking on a tightrope. You don't walk on a tightrope across the canyon carelessly. Are you with me? You walk carelessly. No, you walk very circumspectly, very aware of each step you take. Where do you place your foot? Can I say that even in life itself, as we know it, we have a lot of emphasis put on steps that we take. Was it Neil Armstrong that when man landed on the moon, the Americans went to the moon? I believe Neil Armstrong said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. One small step, he said. One small step. You understand that the Bible teaches us that God numbers our steps. He knows our steps. He watches our steps. Steps are valuable and very important. It's interesting to me when we look at life, how valuable one step matters in life. The Bible teaches us that we are one step. We're one breath from death. We are from going into eternity. You are one step. You might be one step. The next step you take, you plant your foot on a street of gold if you're saved. Yeah. Are you with me this morning? The steps we take are important. Where are your steps taking you? Are you singing that song in your mind every day? Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Do you realize that the Bible has a great emphasis on the omniscience of God? The Bible talks about in Psalm 139 how he knows my downsitting, he knows my uprising, he knows my thoughts, he knows where I'm afar off. He knew me even when I was in the belly of my mother. He knew me and he created me. He knew me before I was born. And he knows every step I take. We think about the omniscience of God. That is the unique character of God and the attribute of God, that he knows everything about everyone. And we think about that, that's an encouragement to know that he knows the burden that I'm under. He knows the temptations that I face. He knows the hardships and the struggles that I'm going through. But can I say, he knows every step you take as well. He knows when you're doing right. He knows when you're walking the right way. He knows when you're walking the wrong way. He knows. That's a somber thought. It's an encouraging thought to know that he knows all about me. And Jesus knows all about my trouble. Yeah, that's encouraging, but it's also a sombering thought, and it ought to bring us to a consciousness to know that God knows all about me. And he knows where I'm going. He knows what I'm doing. He knows every step I take. So every step I take is valuable. I think about athletes. I remember when I used to be an athlete. I don't know if I classify myself an athlete. I used to play football. I was the captain of the football team. And when we went out to football, when they taught us to play football, one of the things they teach you in sports is not how to catch touchdown passes, not how to run touchdown runs. They teach you the fundamentals. Are you with me? One of the fundamentals in football that you learn, or in athletics that you learn, is how to run. And they do what they call form running.
In other words, you don't just run however you want. They teach you to run. They teach you that when your right foot comes forward, your left arm comes forward. And your right arm, left foot. They teach you that. You go through drills when you play sports. You go through drills that teach you form running so that your body is in the right motion at the right time and it is making the most efficient use of its energy. Steps are important. Steps. Can I say, how many of y'all ever had a child or been around somebody that had a child and they were just cute little just baskets of love, you know. Oh, goo, 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 goo. But about that important day, they've been crawling around, they've been messing around on the ground, and then all of a sudden, that first day, and you're sitting there watching them, and they take their first. I mean, you're not there to watch them run. You're not excited because they're running a 100-yard dash. They're not running a marathon or some kind of great race. No, you're excited because they're taking their first step. Steps are very important. And everybody's all, yeah, he took his first step. She took her first step. Steps are valuable. Steps are important. Can I say, in God's eyes, every one of us are taking steps every day. And God knows every step you take. I will just preach for a little while and give you a few points, some things to thought of, give you some scriptures to think about, some scriptures that show you the unique character that God knows about us, that he numbers our steps. Job said, he knows the steps I take. He knows what I'm going through. He knows where I'm going. He knows every temptation of it. And he knows the steps I take, whether I take the right step or the wrong step. And can I say, there is some wrong steps and there's still some right steps. I know we live in a day and age where everything's blended together and everything's got to be, you know, it's just all relative to how you feel about it. No, hogwash. They're still right and they're still wrong. They're still right places to walk to. They're still wrong places you're not to walk to. Can I say to you this morning, each step you take is valuable and important because God numbers it and knows it. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't take count of it. But every step, I don't know when my last step will be. That's why I want to make sure that I'm walking in the right path and I'm making the right tracks behind me. I'm walking the right way in the right direction, doing the right thing, taking the right steps so that if my last step could be right now, I want to make sure my last step counts. Are you with me? Your steps that you take, they're valuable, they're very important. Can I say that your steps that you take are either taking you closer to or they're taking you further away from God. The steps you take, not just the thoughts you think. We think and we have thoughts all the time and they're very valuable and they have a lot to do with the steps we take. But you can think things and never act them out if you are careful. Are you with me? But the steps you take you either closer to God or they'll take you farther away from God. I could preach right there all day, but think about the places you could go and the steps you take to get closer to God. There's many people that got up this morning and they walked not to a church house, they walked to a ball field or they walked to a racetrack or they walked to the side of a lake or they walked to the ocean. They walked somewhere other than closer to God. Are you with me? The steps you take have a lot to do with whether you're getting closer to or further away from God. The steps you take have the potential of being life-changing. They could be for the positive or for the negative. The steps you take. I think about Proverbs chapter number 5. We read a few verses there a while ago. If you go over to Proverbs 5 and verse 5, the writer is warning of the strange woman, that woman that leads the man into temptation, into some adulterous relationships. And he said her steps, he's talking about her steps lead to the ways and it down to hell. I'll read it to you. Proverbs chapter number 5 and verse 5. He said, her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. The potential for a life-changing, a dream-shattering step. That if a man would take the wrong step, his life could be destroyed. Life-changing for the negative. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise man shall be wise. That is a positive change. That's a walk in the right, that's the right step. He that walketh with wise man shall be wise. How many of you would like to be wise, make the right decisions, have the right outcome in life? He that walketh with wise men, hey, walketh is, how do you walk? You take steps. The man that takes steps and walks with the wise men, he said he shall be wise. He's walking in the counsel of the right man. He's walking in the light of the word of God. He's walking with people who fear God. He's walking with people and having daily steps with people who fear God and reverence God and want to please God. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But that verse goes on to say, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Each step you take has the potential to give a positive or a negative on your life. Where are the steps that you take leading you? The steps you take day after day, the places you go, the friends you walk with, the places you walk to, where do your steps take you? What is the potential for the steps that you take in your life? Is it negative? Is it positive? Is it leading to destruction or is it leading to the blessings of the Lord in your life? The steps you take, can I say the steps that you take manifest your desires. Many people got up this morning and they didn't walk to get in their car and walk into a church house this morning. Guess why? Because they didn't desire to go to church house this morning. Can I say, can I just stop and drop this on you for a while? I don't understand people who never want to go to church and yet they call themselves a Christian. You go talk to them and are you a Christian? Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. They didn't want to talk about Christ or nothing about the Lord until they found out you was a Christian. But when they found out you was a Christian, they want to say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. Or do you go to church? Oh yeah, I go down there to what's the name of that church, honey? And she tells him, church, what's the name of the pastor? I mean, they hadn't been there since Lassie was a pup. Moby Dick was a man the last time they went. You know what I'm saying? But yet, oh, I'm a Christian. Well, when's the last time you read your Bible? Oh, I'm not a good reader. When's the last time you prayed? Well, I think we prayed for Christmas dinner. I'm talking about people who call themselves Christians, yet they don't want anything to do with the things of God. They're not interested in the Word of God. They're not interested in being at the house of God. They're not interested in walking with the people of God. They're not interested in being around them, but yet they call themselves Christians. Can I just say to you, something's wrong with that picture? When I got saved, I just use a personal example, but when I got saved, God put a desire in my heart to want to be at church. Nobody had to call me the next week and say, hey, be at Sunday school. Sunday school starts at 9:45. No, I knew when Sunday school started, and I knew I wanted to be there. Nobody had to call me and tell me, hey, Sunday night, we got church, 6 o'clock, be there. Nobody had to call me and tell me, hey, Wednesday night, we got church. Nobody had to call me and say, hey, are you coming back? Guess what? They didn't have to send a committee out 3 months from then and say, hey, we hadn't seen you at church in a few weeks. Where you been? No, because when a man or a woman gets born again and become a child of God, they have a desire to be around God's people. They have a desire to hear God's word. They have a desire for the things of God. So what I'm saying this morning is people's steps manifest and reveal the desires of their heart. If people walk, and let me say you take steps to go everywhere you go, unless you're handicapped and you're rolling around in a wheelchair. But if you walk into a club where there's alcohol and worldly music and all kinds of immorality going on, if you're walking in there and that's your daily practice to walk in that place and to spend time there and your steps lead you to such places, can I say it's because your wicked heart desires to be there. If a man's walking into another lady's house that's not his wife and he's walking in there spending time where he ought not, it's because his wicked heart desires to be there. I mean, we can look at the positive. My steps bring me to church. My steps take me soul winning. My steps take me to do things for the Lord. My steps take me to care for somebody. My steps take me to minister to people. But my steps can take me away. My steps can show my heart on the wicked side. My steps can show if I spend time in the wrong places. The steps I took to get me there are revealing and they're showing my desire on the inside. Can I say your steps determine your ultimate destination. Preacher, what are you talking about? It's not just to think about it, but your steps. Who do you walk with? Where do you walk to? And when do you walk? When do you take these steps? Can I say, your steps will have a lot to do with whether you ever get saved or not. There's a lot of people that will sit in an altar. I mean, sitting in a pew. Week after week, they'll hear the gospel preached. They'll hear that Jesus loved them, that Jesus died for them, that he was buried, that he rose again, and that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And they'll say, oh, that's wonderful. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know that. And the preacher would offer an invitation and say, hey, would you come? Would you come just as you are? Would you come and be saved? But every week, instead of walking down to the altar and trusting Christ, they'll turn and walk out the door. And can I say to you that the road to hell is still paved with good intentions? There's a lot of people that will walk out instead of walking in. Jesus said, I am the door. Have you walked through the door yet? Have you walked to the door, Jesus Christ? Trusted him by faith, received him as your Lord and Savior. The steps you take. The steps you take. Can I say a lot of times in my life I've walked steps down to an old-fashioned altar in times of surrender. Times of submitting my life to God. He deals with something in my heart. He deals with a sin. He deals with an area in my life that I need to change. And instead of walking out the door, I took steps to an altar and surrendered to God. Whether it's for ministry or whatever it is, when God deals with your heart, sometimes your steps determine what you're going to do with God's will in your life. Are you going to step to an altar and surrender and say, I surrender all? The steps you take determine your ultimate destination. Steps you take determine service for the Lord. I was thinking about the disciples in Matthew chapter number 4. Jesus come by them. They were mending their nets. They're working at their ships, their father's head. And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Matthew chapter 4. And the Bible says, and they immediately dropped their nets and followed him. Immediately. They didn't backtrack. They didn't walk around in circles and try to decide. No, they immediately dropped their nets and followed him. The steps they took determined their obedience. It revealed their heart's desire. The Bible tells us in 1 John, in chapter number 1, in verses number 6 and 7, that we are... He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The way we walk determines our separatedness. What is your separation? Are you walking in the darkness of the world or are you walking in the light of the Lord? Who are you walking with? Who do you spend your time with? The steps you take. Where are your steps leading you? The Bible says of a man named Enoch in Genesis chapter number 5, verse 24, but Enoch walked with God, and he was not. We don't know a whole lot about Enoch. Jude tells us he prophesied and preached the word that Jesus was coming again. Hey, but we don't know a whole lot about this man named Enoch except for that he lived, that he had some children, and that he walked with God. Enoch walked with God. I wonder if that could be your testimony. The people around you, if they watched you, if they said, that young lady, that young man, that mom, that dad, that fellow over there, he walks with God. Step by step. You don't necessarily jump in a race and run to the end. It starts with the first step you take. Somebody says, preacher, I'm not right with God. You don't understand what I've done. You don't understand how far I've gotten away from God. You don't know how far I've boxed it. You don't know how cold I get. I say, I can't help the past. The past is in the past. Hey, ask God to forgive you and start walking with him today, step by step. You can't go back 10 years. You can't go back 20 years. You can't go back a year. Ask God to forgive you and start walking the right direction now. The steps you take. How do you get back close to God? Think about Peter. Y'all remember Peter? He said, God, he told Jesus, he said, I'll go with you even to death. Nobody's going to. Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me. And guess what Peter did? Before the cock crowed, hey, Peter denied him. And guess what? It's just several days later. And Peter's standing up preaching on the day of the Pentecost, and 3,000 souls are saved and added to the church. You say, how did Peter get from being a denier of the Lord Jesus to a preacher of the gospel in just a few days? How did he go from there to there? I'll tell you how he did it. He took the first step in the right direction. You got to take that first step back. And the first step leads to the next step. And keep each step in the right direction, going the right way toward the right place with the right people. And Peter's way right to get right with God is the same way for your way to get right with God. And that's to turn around today and to start taking the right steps from where you are. Turn and walk back. Where are your steps leading you? The song says, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, not happy, the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, God knows every step we take. He's watching the steps we take. Every step determines and reveals something about us. But can I say, the steps that you take and the steps that I take, they cannot be rewalked. You cannot undo the steps you took. That is why it's extremely important to make sure that you make the steps you take count. You only get so many steps. You understand? God numbers your steps. Well, I'll get right with God later on down the road. You are wasting steps in your life. You're wasting time. God has your steps numbered. You're only going to get so many. Do I know how many? No. Make valuable use of the ones you've got. You can't undo them. You don't get them back. You can't walk the wrong direction for 10 years and turn around and say, oh God, I wish I could go back. I want to go back. You can't go back. Make use today of the steps you have. Can I say this? The steps you take, they can be ordered or directed or established by the Lord. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What did John say in 1 John? He said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, in other words, we can follow Him. He's leaving us path. Peter said that we should walk in His steps. Follow in His steps. He's our example. Your life, your steps that you take, they can be directed and led by the Lord Himself. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Order my steps in thy word. I wonder when's the last time you went to walk in a certain direction, doing a certain thing, being in a certain activity. Wonder when's the last time you said, I wonder if this is right for me, and you went to the word of God to find out what God's word says about your daily activity. Can I say many a family would have been saved? Many a young person would have saved their reputation. Many a mom and dad would have kept their testimony had they been ordered of the Lord's word for the steps they took. Every step you take is crucial to the life you live. It's not only crucial to the life you live today, but it's crucial to the life you'll spend in eternity. The steps. See, preacher, I never thought about the steps. I think about, you know, the long journey. Can I say the long journey is made up of individual steps? Right. If you get off path today and you start walking in the wrong direction, every step you take takes you out of the way. How many of you been walking in the woods, went on a hike or something, and you started wandering off the path, looking at this tree, looking at this rock, and before you knew it, man, you're way off. You're like, how did I get way over here? Anybody ever? You know how you got over there? Step by step. You didn't jump over there. You didn't run over there, most likely. It was just a little wandering, didn't have your eyes where it was supposed to be, wasn't watching the guide, wasn't watching the path, and before you knew it, you wound up somewhere way off track.
Right.
You know, people do that every day in life, in the Christian walk. They start out well, they trust the Lord, they're walking with the Lord, they're in the church, and sooner or later, they get into a little distraction over here, or somebody over here says something to them, somebody does something, they get their eyes on this or off of this. Next thing you know, they're taking a step in this direction, and then a step in this direction, and then they're over here again, and then they're over here, and they're supposed to be going out of way, and then they have a wake-up call. Somebody rattles their cage talking to them, wakes them up, shakes them up, and they look around and say, you know what? The people I used to be walking with are way over there. How did I get over here? And they went, well, you know how? The steps they took. You know how they're going to get back over there where they belong? By turning around and walking in the right direction. Step by step. Living this life step by step. The psalmist said in Psalm 56:13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The psalmist said, look, God, you've delivered me from hell. You saved my soul. Now won't you help me to walk in the light of the living? Can I say he will? But you're going to have to be like the psalmist, and you're going to have to say, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Where this morning are the steps that you take leading you? Daddy, what kind of path, what kind of steps are you leaving for your children to follow? Mama, what is your daughter, if she follows the steps you take, where's she going to wind up? Sir, ma'am, if your neighbors follow your steps, where would they go? Living my life step by step. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down with love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I love you. I thank you, God, for your goodness to us. I thank you, God, for helping us. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. Now, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts today through your word. Use your word. I pray that it would not return void. I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray for the ones that are here this morning lost. They don't know the Lord Jesus. I pray to God today they'd take a step and come down to an old-fashioned altar. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved before it be too late. I pray for those that are wayward and weary, they're backslidden, they're cold on God. God, maybe they've come in this morning and they've heard your word. God, I pray you would help them today to turn and to begin to take the right steps back with you, to walk with you again, Lord, like they once did. God, I pray you'd help them today to get back on the right path. I pray you'd speak to hearts and lives. I pray, God, that you'd do the work that only you can do and have your will and way in all that we say and do today. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed all across the auditorium. Let's stand.